Kelvin Davis is at home in Kaitaia. Kelvin, thanks for joining us. Hope you're keeping well enough in these challenging times. Nē rā te mihi kia koe, nau mai.
Kia ora, Dale. Yeah, keeping busy, even though we're in lockdown. The work doesn't end. The meetings continue. They're all on Zoom. Today I think I've got 7 or 8 Zoom hui's. Cabinet, of course, I think it's at 1 o'clock. Before Jacinda makes announcements at 4, letting people know, whether or not the lockdown's going to continue. And I just hope everyone is obeying the rules and keeping themselves safe. That's the biggest thing. This Delta variant is a lot more virulent than the other strains we've had. So it's important we stay safe, we stay locked down, and we get vaccinated if we're, if you're able to.
Kaitaia is, typical of many New Zealand rural towns, very Māori town as well. Are people adhering to the lockdown? And what are some of the issues you may be noting as you hit the supermarket and the like, Kelvin? What's been the reaction to this, harsh call about level 4 in the far north?
Yeah, I think in the main, people understand why it had to be done. There were a couple of people arrested because they wouldn't wear masks going into Pack and Save the other day. I think that's not common. But, it's just annoying. People have got to realise that we've got to wear masks. We've got to obey the rules. If you're going to the supermarket, just, one person in the whānau goes. Everyone else stays at home. But I think by and large, people are following the rules. And, it's really good to see. We've been here before. We've done it before. We can do it again. But I know that this time around, people are, really starting to feel the pinch. I've just been reading in the papers how a lot of younger people are feeling the strain. And, that's a real concern. But we have to do this. We just need to look overseas and see the consequences. Countries that haven't taken things seriously have gone into soft lockdowns. New South Wales, for example, like their lockdown, I don't even know if you can call it a lockdown. They still had schools open, restaurants open, cafes open. People were able to mix and mingle. And as you can see, it's getting up around 1,000 cases a day in New South Wales. And we just can't afford that. As we say, we've got to protect our whakapapa.
Well, let's talk about some of the other issues associated. Obviously, there are still guys who are playing up, and so our court systems, our corrections facilities are still operating. What can you tell us about the testing regime of people going into prison? We're assuming there's no COVID in there at the moment, but because of the widespread nature and the locations of interest in our wider community, what processes are in place to ensure that somebody who is infected isn't put into the muster?
Yes, so corrections have very stringent protocols under level 4 now. And so when somebody does go to prison, they are kept separate from everybody else for a full 14 days. Anybody who engages with them is wearing PPE. So there's very little chance of it going any further. There's deep cleans of cells once somebody is moved out. We were one of the few countries that didn't have any cases. Well, sorry, that's not true. We had one case. A woman came from overseas. She refused to get tested at the border. The judge said, well, you can go into on remand until such time as you agree to a test. It subsequently turned out she did have COVID, but because of the protocols that corrections have in place, she was the only person that never went any further. And so it just goes to show how careful corrections are. But, we just can't be over-cautious. So we know from overseas, again, if COVID gets into the prison population, it spreads like wildfire. So corrections has been very, very careful. And we've still got to maintain people's rights. People are still entitled to an hour out of their cells every day, so I've asked corrections to make sure that that is happening and record that it is happening for all 8,100 people that are in prison. So, logistically, it's a big task, but corrections is doing their very best to make sure, A, people's rights have been maintained, they've been held in accordance with the Corrections Act, but also keeping everybody safe.
You're the Associate Education Minister. Can we talk for a moment about the gulf between the digitally enabled households and the learning opportunities for our tamariki? Because as we know, middle classes often work on computers. They're sent home, they set their laptop up on the table, but working class people don't, do they? They're at home. And so we've also got this gulf of kids who have digital connectivity as a given, normal part of life, and those who haven't. What would you say as far as the educational consequences of the divide?
Yeah, well, the divide, I guess, is exasperated by COVID. One of the problems that we have is because the lockdown happened so quickly, there are a lot of kids weren't at school, so couldn't take home the devices. So the devices that were distributed under the last lockdown, they're the property of the schools, so the schools collected them up. Now, so they weren't able to then distribute them to children. So there's a bit of an issue there for schools. And our priorities were for those students doing NCEA and the older students. So now we're trying to make sure that everybody has the ability to learn. That's why there are different modes. There's the digital stuff. There's hard packs that go out to whānau. There's also the TV channels that we're making decisions about establishing them again. So more shows were recorded in the, since the last lockdown. So there's a number of things that the Ministry of Education is trying to do to make sure that learning is as continuous as can possibly be under the circumstances.
And finally, the passing of Sir Michael Cullen. Obviously, he had been a feature of the Labor Party for such a long time. But he was no stranger to the Māori kaupapa, particularly in the latter stages of his career. What would you say of his contribution to the wider nation, but also to our people, Calvin?
Yeah, I think Tūwharetoa and Tūhoi said it best. Now, I can't remember the exact words, but they put out a tribute to Michael Cullen. And he was still there when I first became a member of Parliament. I think he was there for maybe 2 or 3 months. So I had a very short opportunity to get to know him. I have to say that he's the sort of person that you just you watched and you listened to and you learned from. But what was great about Michael was that even after he left Parliament, he still stayed in touch. He was very keen to engage. He supported Kiritapu Allen, he and his wife Anne, quite considerably, and we can see now that Kiritapu won the seat of the East Coast. So he stayed true to his Labour roots, even post-politics. Many politicians often leave and you don't see them again, but he just stayed true. He held a number of posts after leaving Parliament, and he was appointed by the national government. So just, I guess, as an indication of how highly regarded he was by other politicians, by iwi, and he'll be sorely missed. He presided over 9 budgets and 9 surpluses. I think he was the longest serving finance minister in 70 years. So he left a real legacy, least of all being KiwiSaver. So when New Zealanders retire, they'll get a lump sum of money to see them through their retirement years. That's the sort of legacy that he left.
Thanks a lot, Calvin. Have a good week. We'll talk next. All the best until then. I think we'll probably be in lockdown, but we'll wait and see. We'll know later tomorrow. Kia ora, mate.
Kia ora, Dale. Tēnā koe.
Thank you.